Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. Join their team today. We will be joined by Nick Dowd from the Washington Capitals in just about 20 minutes. It's coming up at 8:25.
I think he was getting props in the last game. You know, I put it on our Instagram page. Give us a follow, Sports Junkies Radio.
Yes.
Whenever they win, they give you that locker room.
Yeah.
Carberry speech, and he shouted out Dowd.
Ah, very good.
Dowder with no shirt on.
Love the Dowder. Hopefully his nose is good now after it got broken a few weeks ago. Can't remember which game that was, but skated off the ice, looked like he was in pain. Shocker, tough hockey guy. Comes back later in the same game. So Dowd will join us at 8:25. All right, so into the break, I teased the spots where people moved the most in 2024.
And you said it was surprising. It was a Southern state surprising.
Well, I'm going to give you the top five because there's 10. I don't need to give all 10, but I'll give the top six because we were just talking about the number six spot. Tennessee makes the list. Now, this is according to research from Atlas Van Lines, from all the moves that they've booked for people over the years.
I highly recommend Metropolitan Moving storage.
As we all should, of course. So it says for Tennessee, their southern charm hasn't worn off. Nashville continues to grow as a creative and business hub, while cities like Chattanooga and Knoxville are pulling in families looking for affordability and revitalized urban spaces.
I forget, of our crew, a lot of guys have gone to Nashville, but there was one person who didn't really like it.
Who was it? Oh, it was...
Was it EB or was it Drab? Drab, did you love Nashville?
I think EB was kind of mad on Nashville.
Yeah. Jason didn't like Nashville.
Oh, maybe it was Jason.
But Jason doesn't like anything.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a very good point.
He didn't like the bars.
Yeah. Nashville. Well, isn't that
too many people or something?
Yeah. Too many people.
Yeah.
That sounds like a cake's response.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so the top five, Idaho comes in at number five. It says Idaho is doing its thing, holding strong in the top 10 for
another
year.
I've never met a person in my 54-year life who's moved to Idaho.
Well, apparently Boise remains. I don't know if it's Boise or Boise. I know there's controversy as to how it's pronounced.
Boise.
Yeah. Apparently it remains a magnet for families, retirees, and remote workers thanks to its friendly communities, access to nature, and affordability. So Idaho makes the list. Now, my only brush with Idaho is that my son went out west with one of his buddies, and they hit like three or four national parks. They're driving all over the west, and he said that they stopped in a spot in Idaho, and that it was super nubs, the spot that he stopped in. Now, again, Idaho is a pretty big state. Maybe he just found a bad pocket, but he drove through Idaho and said, probably never going to go there again. Now, I'm guessing he wasn't in Coeur d'Alene, Drab, because I know that's a swanky, fancy spot. In Idaho?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is Sun Valley also
Sun
in Idaho?
Valley, yeah.
That's like a
celeb hotspot.
Celeb hotspot. Like all the tech bros wearing their vests show up in Sun Valley, Idaho.
Schwarzenegger has a home there. Yeah.
He does. Okay. Yeah. So
Idaho's pretty silly. I mean, I realize nobody listening will ever go there, but I mean, it's beautiful. I love it.
All right. So Idaho makes the top five. Coming in at number four, this one shocked me. Washington, D.C. Says after years of people leaving cities for the burbs, The district's cultural scene, job opportunities, and improved housing options are drawing people back. Plus, its tech and professional sectors are booming, making it a solid choice for young professionals looking for a fresh start.
Have you looked around Navy Yard?
There's buildings everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, that one makes sense to me.
Yeah. So here are your top
three. More than Idaho.
Here are your top three. North Carolina comes in at number three.
Of course. You want your sup crushes.
Says it's got the perfect mix of growing cities, solid job markets, and easy access to the mountains and the beach as well.
By the way, I put out a little thing on Twitter about the party.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Eagle Eye sends me a tweet or a text. Okay. He's like, thanks for representing the Crush Vodka.
That's right.
He saw the bar and looked through and he saw that Crush Vodka was up there.
Hey, you got to have it out on display. It was in the front row, I believe. I noticed it there as well.
I don't know what row it was on. So North, sure moved around.
Maybe it did. So North Carolina makes the list, coming at number three. Coming in at number two, I've never been to this state. Pretty sure I'll never go. But apparently,
all right,
it's hot.
Give me Northeast,
yeah.
Maine.
It's not Maine. Incorrect. Right. Though Maine, I think, made the top 10 down near like 7 or 8. Not Maine.
I'm not going to go through all of them.
Just give me
Hampshire.
One more
New Hampshire.
Guess. No. Rhode Island.
Okay, see.
I know that Newport, Rhode Island, scenic, picturesque. Don't know anything else about Rhode Island, to be honest with you. Brown, Providence. That's all I know about Rhode Island. It's all I got. But apparently it's a hot spot for people to move to. And the number one spot where people are moving.
You said it's surprising and in the South. Now, your mom moved to Alabama.
She did.
Well, that's years ago.
And this state does start with an A, but it's not Alabama. People love moving to Arkansas.
Hogwash.
The natural state is topping the list for inbound moves this year. Affordable housing, slower pace of life, and wide open spaces are drawing in families, retirees, and anybody looking to escape high cost living. So if you're looking for low cost of life, Arkansas is the spot for you, JP.
Don't plan on moving, my friend. I've moved a lot ever since I got divorced.
Yeah.
And settled in.
I'd be lying if I said I'd never Zillowed homes in Arkansas before. Thought about it.
You have.
I know nothing. I don't know anything about Arkansas. I've driven through it one time. Seemed fine.
I drove through it once, and I swear I've never seen a state so desolate. Like, if you just go on
really
the highway
stop.
In Arkansas,
yeah.
Like, you literally think that you're in, like, a zombie movie. Because you just don't.
Well, I think that's why why it's appealing. There's a lot of room to grow. You get some land out there. You get a nice home.
You know what?
You can. It's cheap.
There's not a lot of people there. Maybe that's my sweet spot.
That area by Bentonville, where Walmart is, headquarters, is exploding.
I'm sure it is.
I think that's where everyone's moving.
I mean, when
to.
You have one of the world's largest companies headquartered in your state, I mean, there's going to be some boom and some growth.
I think they've
there.
Put a lot of money into that region of the state.
Right.
And, obviously, people like it. They're all moving there.
I guess so. Arkansas, top the list. It's kind of surprising.
Man, this is the first time I've ever Zillowed Arkansas, and I don't even know how this all works.
You can probably afford a lot of home in Arkansas. You probably get a palatial spread.
I'm just clicking on random dots. I don't even know. And Cakes, you're kind of right.
Yeah.
Because all of these pictures of just random homes seem to be in the middle of nowhere.
Can you imagine John Calipari's spread in Arkansas? Can you imagine how much home he's able to buy in Fayetteville, Arkansas? Your dollar goes a long way, Drive.
I mean, here's a random one, right? It's just four bedrooms, four baths.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I have this in like some sort of a search, so it's giving me those type of homes. And then when you look at the overhead shot,
yeah.
This is nothing.
Right. There's just nothing around you. But again, that kind of intrigues
That's
me.
That's in Batesville, Arkansas.
Kind of intrigues me, Drab. Not having a lot of neighbors. having a lot of Malik's neighbors around
me. Do you and Amy envision when you're, say, 70?
70. That's kind of a long ways off.
16 years away. When you're 70.
Actually, doesn't sound that far
would
away.
Would you bet you're still going to be an only, or do you envision yourself moving down south to Arkansas?
Well, if it's between staying in Olney and moving to Arkansas, I'd probably lean on the former rather than the latter. But I think by 70, I'm going to have moved away from the busiest road in Montgomery County, which I currently live on. See, outside of Georgia Avenue, of
course. I used to joke with Jess. We owned an apartment in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, 17th floor on the beach, one bedroom. I was like, this is where we're going to end up.
Right. This is our spot. This is our landing spot.
Now, we sold it. That's a little bit of a monkey wrench.
This is our second to last spot.
Me and my brother sold that joint.
Yeah.
And the truth is, though, this is kind of the truth. Kind of depends where your kids end up and grandkids and all that kind of stuff.
That's definitely a huge component of it. Because, like, if all of my kids are clustered on the East Coast, like, I'm not going to move to freaking Seattle, Washington and be 3,000 miles away from them.
Yeah.
Like, I'll settle in hopefully someplace central to where they wind up. And we'll just have to see where that takes everybody over the next few years.
Furthest you have right now is Carolina.
That's right. My oldest son is
Chapel Hill.
He's living in Durham. Lives in Durham, North Carolina.
Okay, Durham.
Yeah, but all those towns are all just clustered on top of each other in that spot down there.
But hey, you can get bang for your buck in Arkansas.
Definitely can. And in North Carolina, which was number 3 on the list. All right, don't forget, coming up next, we're going to talk some Washington Capitals hockey with Nick Dowd. He's going to join us coming up at 8:25 as the Caps get ready to take on the Minnesota Wild at Capital One Arena tonight. Just a gentle reminder to the listeners, you can join all of your fave hosts from 106.7 The Fan for a special live show later this month. That includes us, includes Beamish and Finley, and Grant and Danny for a totally uncensored discussion of DC sports, behind-the-scenes stories of working in radio, and a preview of the Super Bowl matchup, and more. You can hang out with us for a night of sports, laughs, and fun. Tickets on sale now at tallyhotheater.com. So that's the end of the month. We want to see you there, the Tally Ho.
Somebody just tweeted us at Junks Radio and didn't realize it said that I left them hanging on the New Year's Eve party, that I didn't explain why EB didn't come to the party. Mm-hmm. Now, I think I probably didn't do that because I don't even know if I should say it. But since I threw it out there, sadly, praying for her, and she seems to be doing well, but his mom suffered a fall,
mm-hmm.
broke her hip, had to have hip surgery, was in the hospital.
Scary.
And then EB was going to either take her to the rehab center, mm-hmm. or to his house when she was going to be released the next morning, like early in the morning, New Year's Day.
Right.
So he got back from Florida, went mm-hmm. to the Caps game, and then he had to deal with his mom.
Mm. Well, hoping for the best for her. Hopefully she recuperates.
Scary thing when you have a fall at that age and she's had a couple, and then you break your hip and have to have
Definitely.
Hip surgery.
Yeah, it's a serious thing. And you just have to.
I know, like, your mom
recovers.
Is in, like, kind of using a walker,
yeah.
I think.
Yep.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
We're getting older. Look, we'll be there someday.
Yeah, at some point, like, if I need a walker to get around at some point, just lean into that thing. It's trust me, it's better than falling. Falling is treacherous, it's scary, especially when you get up there in years. So hopefully Mrs. Bickle's okay. We're thinking of you, sending prayers and thoughts your way.
I sent her a text. She seemed like she was in good spirits. Good. She answered my text, which was surprising because sometimes I've sent her a text and don't get a response for like 3 days, and then I randomly get a text. I'm like, what's this all about?
JP, sometimes people send me texts and they don't get responses for 2 or 3 days. So it's not just something.
It's not uncommon.
It's not exclusive to the older set.
Not just octogenarians.
Yeah, not just them. It can happen to semi-able-bodied 54-year-olds, like your pal over here.
Yeah.
These things happen. From time to time.
All right, so Nick Dowd scheduled to join us. Caps coming off the win against the Bruins.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice.
Four for the next five at home at Capital One Arena. Nice
they actually
home
played three games in 4 days. So they were busy there.
Yeah, coming out of the Christmas break, they had the back-to-backers into Toronto and Detroit. They split those. Ovi scored in both of those games. Didn't score against the Bruins, so hopefully he can get back on the scoring side again tonight.
All right, so Drab just kind of whispered in my ear that he's not answering.
Okay.
Nick Dowd has generally been very punctual.
Very reliable.
And has called, and I suspect he's going to be on because I just retweeted Capitals mm-hmm. PR
yep.
every week. Whoever mm-hmm. runs that Twitter account
sure.
right before either Carberry comes on mm-hmm. or before Doubter comes on, they'll put out a tweet, listen to the Junkies at whatever time the guest is supposed to be on.
Sure. But
anyway, we're efforting Doubter. Let's turn our attention a little bit to the NFL cakes. Just to fill you in, we'll do a little Junkies Blitz. Sponsored cakes.
Of course, brought to you by Offenbacher's. You can visit them in Herndon, Rockville, Gainesville, or Annapolis for a huge selection of hot tubs, swim spas, fire pits, pool tables, and an outdoor furniture, too.
So we kind of started talking about it, that kind of the big news in the NFL, news-related, is Aaron Rodgers says it might be his last season.
Right.
That may not be by choice. When we talked to Baldy, he was like, well, what guys, what teams would want him? I guess we will find out. And boom, there he is, Nick Dowd.
Yep, Nick Dowd from your Washington Capitals.
We'll get to the rest of the Blitz later.
Dowder, good morning. How are you, man?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are we doing?
We are doing well.
Oh, you sound sleepy. What time did you wake up?
Nah, I was up. Kids are up. 7:30. I'm ready to rip.
Okay. So I wanted to touch on your New Year's Eve. Now, I know your kids are relatively young. How old are your kids at this point?
Well, New Year's Eve is my kid's birthday, so he just turned 5.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
And then we got a two-year-old. Well, she turns 2 on January 4th. So.
Okay. So you got a 5 and a 2-year-old. So
your busy month personally is like March.
Oh, yeah.
That's your making baby season?
Ah, jeez. Yeah, I guess so.
So I'm guessing that your New Year's Eve with two kids 5 and under or right around that age, not probably a rollicking stay out late, you're in the middle of the season, like, give us the Doubter New Year's Eve. How did that go down?
Oh, it was good. We actually had a team New Year's Eve party this year at one of the restaurants in DC, so we had like a nice dinner, and you know, everyone just got to spend some time together and hang out after the game and watch the ball drop, and then I think we were out of there at 12:02.
Everybody's out at 12:02. That kind of happened at my party.
Doubter, am I a Grinch because I went to JP's, who's one of the other co-hosts here? I went to his New Year's Eve party, and I just called my shot. I said, dude, I'm going to be there early, but there's no chance I'm staying for the ball drop. Is it okay to go and bolt before the ball drops?
I'm all for that. People, you know, I mean, it's people are trying to live their New Year's Day, too. And then the people that don't have kids that are staying out, and then, you know, that they can enjoy themselves and stuff. But, you know, there's one of the old saying, nothing good happens after midnight anyway.
Yeah, well, Doubter, I did have to get home to my kids who are aged 27, 22, and 20.
All right, you're definitely a Grinch, and you need to keep your ass up.
You're probably right. So you guys have the Wild coming in tonight, and I was looking at your bio, and I didn't realize until today, and maybe I'm just a bad Caps fan for this, that you're a St. Cloud State guy from Minnesota.
Yep.
And then I started looking at all the athletes that have come through St. Cloud State, and it's like half of the hockey players have ties to the Caps. It's
Doubter, we had three of them last year.
Chucky Lindgren is a St. Cloud State guy.
Yeah.
Let's see, Nick Jensen, who was recently traded to Ottawa. And, you know, this is an obscure name, but I love watching this guy during shootouts.
Matty Hendrick?
The Paralyzer, Matty Hendrick. Right, I didn't realize he was a St. Cloud State guy.
That's not an obscure name. I hope Hendy, for some reason, is listening to this right now. That is not an obscure name.
Yeah.
Hendy's a big hockey name.
That's John Auville who said that, Hendy, if you want to hunt him down and beat him up.
Did you guys marvel at his, like, the herky jerk, like the way he would approach shootouts? Like, it would literally freeze goaltenders. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do with that guy. That guy was like an artist with the shootouts.
I know. It's like his stick was a paintbrush. It was incredible.
It's pretty sick.
Hey, so how was that 4-day stretch with the 3 games? I mean, you end up with the win against the Bruins. Was that taxing on the body, or are you used to that?
No, that's taxing. I mean, you know, basically I feel like at this point in my career, I just grind it out in the middle of the day, in the middle of the days between the games, and then, you know, rev it up for 7 p.m. I mean, it's challenging. You play a 3-4, especially coming off a holiday break where, you know, we were all, you know, enjoying ourselves and probably staying up a little late and maybe having an extra glass of wine and eating good food. And, you know, you come right off break and you got to refocus, and you play 3 really good hockey teams, kind of all back to back. That's really tough. Yeah. So, I mean, any point in the season you play 3-4, it's really hard with it, you know, but you do it right after a break. It's tough. Yeah.
So in the 3-1 win over Boston just a couple days ago, I saw that you guys combined to block 28 shots in front of Logan Thompson. How scary is that for the layman? Like we can barely skate down, or we can barely like get around the rink, but like,
I feel the same sometimes.
I don't know what it takes to just lay your body down in front of that frozen biscuit that's coming off a dude's stick at like 90 plus miles per hour. What is that mentality like? It's just something that you're taught from, you know, like when you're playing juniors, you got to get down and block shots, help your goalie. And you guys certainly did that for Logan in the last game.
Yeah. Well, I think what it comes down to is the fear of not blocking it and appearing as if you don't want to block it, mm-hmm. I think is worse than getting hit with it.
Right.
From a teammate standpoint, you never want to be that guy who people are like, wow, that guy definitely didn't want to block that shot and had no interest in doing it because the rest of us are doing it. That's why you see a guy like Ovi or, you know, some of these guys that are the best players in the league still blocking shots. I definitely think, hockey has a culture of not putting anybody on a pedestal and the culture of it amongst teammates is guys expect everyone to do the little things and the tough things. So, every now and then you see a guy winding up and you're about 15, you know, cause the farther you are away from the shot, the harder it hurts. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you're right next to the guy shooting it and he shoots it immediately that's the slowest that puck's going to be coming right off his stick. And so it probably hurts a little less and you probably have a better chance of not getting hit somewhere up high. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely some, I feel bad for some of the D-men that are trying to flex out to block a shot on a penalty kill and the guy's taking it from like 20 feet away and it's, you know, it's a Pasternak or a Ovechkin or someone that has a missile and, you know, you just don't quite know, they're shooting high.
Yeah.
I think it's just something you got to do part of the game.
Yep. So you touched on Ovi there. I mean, just a freaking cyborg, 2 goals in the 2 first games back coming off the broken leg. How overjoyed and happy is he that he's back on the ice now? Because we kept seeing stories over the month plus that he was out where obviously he was still with the team. He was in the locker room there with you guys. And it sounded like he was just popping his head in wherever he could to still feel connected with the team. He's got to just be super pumped to be back out on the ice doing obviously what he loves.
Yeah, I mean, I think he isn't, a lot of people probably don't realize it, but over his 19 seasons, I believe it is now, I don't know, maybe 20, I don't want to cut him short, but I mean, he hasn't missed a lot of time. So right. I think this was one of his biggest, you know, injuries that he missed time with. So to keep him away from the game, I think is, you know, he was pretty, I think he was pretty upset about that initially. And then, also, you know, he was pretty hot when he got hurt. And I think, obviously like, you know, we're winning, we're playing really well. He was contributing a lot, you know, we have the goal chase going on and, you know, so there's no avoiding that. But it was great to see him, kind of join the club again. And not only that, but just, but continue kind of pick up right where he left off.
Let me give a quick golf clap to the two young centers, Mikey and Pro, both tied with 16 goals. I mean, the contribution offensively that those guys are giving has been huge for the Caps this season.
Yeah, they've been great. I mean, we've chatted about that already where you guys have asked, you know, what's the – I see the baby, Ruby, yes. I see him. Let's go. We've chatted, you guys have asked me, oh, you know, why is the success this year? What's different? And I kind of touched on that was one of the big things that we've had young guys that have stepped into big roles and played really, really well. And those two, among others, are a big reason why we've had so much success. I think our entire team has played well and our goalies, I think everything's been going well for us, but you know, you have two guys combined for 30 plus goals, that's going to make a big difference, right? Cause regular season, it's all about winning hockey games. So, it's been great to watch and, I hope they keep, running at this clip because it's obviously great for them. It's great for us. So
we had Coach Carberry on a couple of days ago and we were talking about kind of the last few weeks, kind of bigger picture. And he said that he felt like the team has fallen into a little bit of a lull. Now this is before you guys win the game against the Bruins. How do you feel how the team has played? Because you started off very hot and then maybe slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes that's inevitable. I think what's important is you recognize that. You know, you don't got to beat anybody up about it because we're still a good hockey team. We're going to find ways to win games. Is it going to look like it did, you know, the first 10 games of the season? Maybe not, but that's okay too. I think just what's important is to realize, like, where have we taken a step backwards and how do we fix that? Because, you know, the whole season is like a learning process, right? Like there's things that happen every single game individually where you're like, oh, wow, like I didn't anticipate that happening. Like I need to kind of earmark that and make sure that didn't happen again. And then there's things that happen as a team where you're like, you know, okay, like we got to learn from that and try and move on. And, you know, it stings a little bit, but that's a good learning experience that you can use later in the regular season and then trying to push for playoffs. You're never going to play. I mean, we got 82 games, right? Like we're never going to play a 60 minute full 82 games the whole season. Nobody is. You know, I mean, we'd love to, right? That's the goal. And that's why, you know, Carbs is good at pointing things out like, hey, we need to get better at this. And we've taken a step backwards in this category. And, you know, here are the numbers from the first 10 games versus the last 10 games. But it's also good to point out the positive stuff too, right? I think that's, you know, Carbs does a good job of that. There's a good balance. Is there a little bit of a lull? Maybe. I mean, I'm not going to call it that. I'm out there playing games. I feel like we're still working really hard. Guys are still competing, which is what's important. You know, I think you have that lack of compete. You're not going to win a lot of hockey games, regardless of how great your systems are, how great your team is. So I still feel like guys are working really hard. So I think we got the right, we have the right process.
Joined by Nick Dowd from the Washington Capitals. Can you give us the Hockey for Dummies scout on the Minnesota Wild, who you have in the building tonight? They're second in their division, 50 points, close to you guys point-wise. What do you see when you break down the Wild?
Yeah, I mean, heavy team, heavy forechecking team, and they have some elite players too, and I think their goaltending has been playing well this year. So, you know, it's going to be probably a similar game to Boston, where it's going to be a tight game, close game. You know, they beat Nashville the other night 5-3, who's another heavy, hard hockey team to play against, and they're playing well. So, you know, and Minnesota's been playing well all season. That's why they are where they are in the standing. So I anticipate it to be another similar game. It's going to be a physical, you know, tight checking game, and you know, special teams may have a factor, so we're going to need to be good on the power play and good on the penalty kill.
All right, Dowder, thanks as always. Enjoy your game day nap, which I'm sure is just looming off in the horizon. I'm sure it's going to be a good one. We'll talk.
Can't
to you.
Wait.
Yeah. We'll talk to you again next week, man. Best of
all
luck.
Right. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
All right. Bye-bye.
Nick Dowd from your Washington Capitals. When we come back, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see the Capitals take on Montreal when they are in town January 10th. So keep listening for your chance to win because it's coming up next. Coming up before the end of this segment, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Caps take on Montreal January 10th. So keep listening for your chance to win. Unless I forget to give it away before the segment is done, which I don't think I will.
All right, so props to Dowd because he did call right at 8:25.
He did, yes.
Drabbit said, you know, that he wasn't answering the call. Whatever, maybe he runs around with his kids to the last possible minute and then calls us. So, props to Dowder, but we were opening up the Blitz, and I mentioned Aaron Rodgers. He acknowledges that Sunday could be his last NFL game, his 241st career start. He said, when asked about it, yeah, of course, I think there's going to be change here. Well, obviously, new coach, and if I'm part of the change, and I just want to make sure everybody knows I have nothing but gratitude for my time here. I think this is one of these things where you want to say something, but I find it hard to believe. He said that it's been the best 2 years of his life.
I tend not to believe that. Now look, I don't know anything about his life other than watching him on NFL fields on Sunday, but I find it hard to believe that two down years in New York are better than all those years you had in Green Bay, unless he just really has an axe to grind against the Packers and hasn't really talked about it. It's kind of kept that internal.
I mean, didn't he win a Super Bowl?
He did win a Super Bowl with the Packers with that Yinzer Mike McCarthy coaching him. Yes, correct.
Somebody tweeted, by the way, that happened to watch 15 minutes of Enigma, which I mentioned is the doc on Netflix about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Here it is from WC Maniac Mike. Watch first 15 of Rodgers Enigma. 15 minutes, I'll never get back.
Yeah, so he punted 15 minutes in.
I'm going to bet that he's done. And it's kind of one of those quiet retirements.
I don't know. Does he really want to go out like that? Like this? Does he want this to be like the final act for him? I think because of that, he may, if he finds a situation that he likes, that he thinks he fits into with some good talent around him, then maybe he'll try for one or two more years.
I don't think he's going to find that situation.
Probably won't, because like if you're looking for talented pieces around you, it's tougher. It's going to be tough to find better than Garrett Wilson and your handpicked guy, Devontae Adams. Like,
it and seems their like, running back situation. Like, he had what we thought was a good situation. We probably all picked him to at least be in the playoffs, win the division. Right. Some people even picked him to be in the Super Bowl.
What a horrible pick. I think I picked the Jets to win the division, too. I don't think my NFL picks are great. Outside of, I think I have the Lions and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we talked about
this. That's pretty good.
We talked about this last week when you were gone. Yeah. I think both you and I have the exact same Super Bowl, except I think I have maybe the Chiefs winning and you have Detroit winning.
I think that's right.
So it'll probably come down to us.
Sounds correct.
A couple NFL stories here. A lot of teams are shutting down players.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some teams that have a lot to play for. One of those teams is the Miami Dolphins, and people thought it was a curious tweet. People examined all of the social media that Tyreek Hill said, "Happy New Year, especially to the Chiefs." And at first, people were like, why is he shouting out the Chiefs?
Right.
The reason he's shouting out the Chiefs is the Chiefs play the Broncos. Carson Wentz is starting, but he wants the Chiefs to beat the Broncos, because if the Chiefs beat the Broncos, if the Dolphins win, then they're in the playoffs.
Right.
Now, a lot of backup quarterbacks in there, so Carson Wentz starting for the Chiefs. They're just getting everybody rested because they're assured of the one seed home field advantage throughout the playoffs. I mentioned the Dolphins. They may be going with Huntley again. I'm not sure that Tua's status is locked in.
I thought I saw yesterday that didn't McDaniel say Huntley is going to get the start?
Yeah. So that could be tough, and that opens up the door if all these dominoes fall for Cincinnati potentially get into the playoffs. The Eagles made a decision about Saquon Barkley. So Saquon Barkley could break the single-season rushing record held by Eric Dickerson, but shutting him down.
Again,
Sirianni said Barkley will, quote, probably be somebody who rests.
I've got no problem resting guys. If you want them for the playoff run, if you want to keep them sidelined, keep them fresh, especially if they're nicked, they have to be nicked up at this point. You're entering week 18. Nobody's close to 100% healthy. I have no problem with Barkley or any of these guys taking a rest and just being ready for the playoffs.
How do you feel about these single season records that you're getting an extra game to do it? You know what I mean? Like, shouldn't there be some sort of an asterisk attached? Like if Saquon Barkley became the single season record holder, but he had an extra game. Eric Dickerson only had 16 games.
Well, didn't
it's
he,
now a 17 game season.
Didn't he do it in less carries though than Dickerson? From what I think I saw.
Okay,
that.
But
yes,
and didn't
they did less carries? That's it's fine.
Wasn't it also 14 games? A 14 game season?
And Dickerson, I don't think so. Oh. I think it was already a 16-game season.
I think it was 16, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Sirianni said it's a special record that's been standing for a very long time by a great player. It's a team record that everybody's involved in. So you weigh in all those things, but at the end of the day, you just try to do what's best for your team.
I remember when it changed to a 17-game season, Cakes mocked me because I said records mean something.
I did?
Yeah,
it was mockery?
And you go, nobody cares about football records. Football records are meaningless.
I tend to still think that.
Here we are.
But it looks like Dickerson's record, which is 2,105 yards, 1984, you can look up, and I think it was a 16-game season too, that that'll stand, because if Barkley's being shut down, he needs 101 rushing yards. But, you know, if they add an 18th game, mm-hmm. and there's some, you know, I don't know who the single season record holder is now for, say, receptions in a season or yards receiving in a season. Now, let's say you get two extra games, you're going to, like, it's just kind of whoring the guy that only had 16 games.
Yeah, I care much less about those individual records. I care much more about me fading Saquon Barkley in every fantasy draft, because I wasn't sure he was going to have this sort of year, and he did.
Yeah,
I
saw but you know what? Eric Dickerson had a 16-game season, and how did he get the record? He beat O.J. Simpson, who had a 14-game season.
Right. Yeah, I guess they just don't care.
Yeah.
I saw you deep in conversation with Mikey during the party. Were you guys just lamenting your fantasy mishaps?
I'm glad you brought that up. So, all right, peel back the onion layer, curtain, whatever. So I'm in not one, I'm in two high-stakes fantasy leagues with my guy, Bikey Botts.
High-stakes meaning like a $5,000 entry?
It's not quite that high, but it's pretty high.
In the neighborhood.
Yeah, and also we're playing for like weekly side money every week. Right. And it can get stressful at times when you're playing for, you know, money that is a little higher than you're comfortable with. But that's why we have partnered, so we absorb that blow, okay? So we have two leagues that we're in. We missed the playoffs in one of the leagues.
That's the one you had Jaden Daniels.
Had Jaden and Jameer Gibbs, and I somehow missed the playoffs.
The rest of your team sucked.
I'll tell you how I missed the playoffs. I drafted Garrett Wilson at 10 instead of guys like Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, because I thought, like a big stupid idiot, that Aaron Rodgers would elevate Garrett Wilson to being a guy who had 110 catches, like a Tyreek Hill type of season in his prime. Didn't happen. That team gets eliminated. Our other team did pretty well, but lost by 3 points in the final in the other league. So,
how much is the difference in first place and second place in that league?
Now, in that league, all right, I'm just putting my business out there, but who cares? Right. In that league, where we actually qualify for the playoffs, the two teams that were left, we decided to chop.
Okay.
The majority of the money, which
that's
was
a weird bit.
Okay, we chopped the majority of it, which was $14,000.
Wow.
So we chopped. So the other team got seven, we get seven. Mikey and I chopped that in half. Okay. Now, between both leagues, and I couldn't believe this figure when I saw it yesterday. Because Mikey does all the permutations and all the calculating.
He's the math guy.
He's the math guy. I'm the personnel guy. Okay.
Right.
I'm the Adam Peters guy. He's the personnel. He's the numbers guy as far as like all the league fees.
Right.
He handles all that. I don't concern myself with that. I'm on the other side of the building. So between the two leagues, I texted to Mikey. I was like, how did we finish up between the two leagues? He gave me the figure. And you're just going to laugh when you hear it. Between the two leagues, grinding them both for...
One in which you won $7,000.
Yeah, one in which we split $7,000. Our total profit for the two leagues, $63.
How does that happen?
Now, I don't know how it happens, but... Now, that's...
Some fuzzy math.
It's laughable. The small, puny... Just
and you chop that 63.
Yeah, so we each get like $31 or okay. Now people are laughing at it, as they should be,
right?
But if you saw some of the amounts that the other guys are in the hole in some of these leagues, like I think one guy, and he doesn't split his team with somebody, I believe he's in the hole for one league. $17,000.
What is it, like $2,000 to make a transaction?
There's side money involved. In one of the leagues, we had, like, when you're bidding on free agents, you're bidding real dollars. Not just, hey, you have 2,000 fake dollars to bid or 200 fake dollars. No. You have $2,000 in real money to
so
bid on
players.
So
if you want Lamar Jackson, you're spending $3,000.
No, like you're bidding on free agents, like, okay. during the season. It's not an auction league, but, like, if somebody's on the wire, instead of, like, going through waivers, you're bidding on, like, so if... If there's a hot running back or something that comes on the wire, you could bid $1,500 and get that person. problem is,
how are people losing the money though?
Because there's side action every week. These guys are full blown degenerates that I'm in these leagues with. They don't care about money.
So how did you lose all your money? You win $7,000 over here. How did you lose your seven on the other
side? Because in the team that I have with Jaden and Jahmyr Gibbs, that team was taking in the keister like half of the year. And that whittles your money down. So, all said and done, Mikey and I chopped $63.
That's amazing.
$63. But I pointed out to Amy, I said, That's a tick in the W ledger. That's a small win.
Did she shake her head? Why do you go through all this? Because she knows you spend countless hours.
She looks at me like I just married a degenerate. That just, all he cares about is grinding the waiver wire and making $31.
She said something to me. She sent a text, very nice, and was like, you know, thank you for the party. You guys host a great party. You guys know whatever. And I was like, yeah, another late one for cakes tonight,
right?
And she's like, that's right, it's the first Wednesday of the month. And I was like, oh, I mean, I didn't ask her at the party or whatever, but just my vibe from just the little text and the way she said it is she feels like an MGM National Harbor widow once a month.
She does. Well, that's just part of the deal. That's my side. That's my side hustle.
She was like, oh, that's right.
Yeah, she resigned the first to it.
She didn't sound psyched. Right. There wasn't an exclamation point at the end of it.
Right. All right, when we come back, we will do Cakes' entertainment page. I'll regale you with stories from the movies, entertainment, and more. We'll do that next here on The Fan.